Hi, this is Mo Oster, MISNI's Senior Vice President for Advocacy. I lead a team of lobbyists fighting for you in Albany and sometimes in Washington, D.C. State budget negotiations kicked into overdrive this week after both the State Assembly and State Senate passed their One House budget proposals last week. Three-way negotiations between the staffs of the Senate, Assembly, and Governor's Office have begun in earnest, and general and topic-specific subcommittees began to meet in public as well. The budget is due April 1st, and several legislators have expressed optimism about passage of a budget before then, as Easter is next Sunday, March 31st. We'll see about that, as the last few years, budgets have stretched a few weeks past April 1st, and last year, the budget was finally enacted in May. As I noted last week, we are pleased that both houses are recommending that various executive budget proposals that adversely impact patient access to community-based physician care be rejected from the final budget. This includes recommending the restoration of authorization and funding for MISNI's Committee for Physicians' Health, opposing the proposed 50% cost-share imposition on the 16,000 physicians enrolled in the Excess Medical Malpractice Insurance Program, preserving the right for out-of-network physicians to appeal payment disputes with Medicaid managed care plans to independent dispute resolution, preventing the state from cutting reimbursement for office-administered medications, and opposing elimination of physician supervision of physician assistants. Please send a letter to your senators and assembly members from MISNI's grassroots action site, thanking them for recommending the rejection of these adverse proposals, but also urging that they hold to this position as they begin what are called three-way negotiations with the governor's office. Just because the Assembly and Senate have made recommendations to reject certain proposals does not automatically mean that these issues have been decided for the year. It's an important step, but it's not determinative. Indeed, in past budgets, the legislature has recommended against the governor's budget proposal, yet that proposal still made its way into the final budget because of the emphasis the governor's staff has placed on that issue during negotiations. Certainly, we are aware that the governor's office has made a big press in three-way negotiations for the scope of practice expansions in her executive budget. To that end, with a grant from the American Medical Association, MISNI has been running ads on popular news and traffic radio stations in downstate New York, making sure the public and physicians are aware of these proposals to remove physician oversight of patient care delivery. We've also been running an op-ed from MISNI President Dr. Paul Papia in a frequently read political news website. It is also noteworthy that both the State Senate and Assembly help fund their budget proposals with a multi-billion dollar new tax on health insurance companies that had not been proposed in the governor's executive budget. If that source of revenue is not agreed to, or not replaced by other sources of revenue, it will place significant pressure on other parts of the budget the legislature wants to fund, including proposed restorations to cuts to various programs supported by physicians. Again, all these budget dynamics is why continued grassroots pressure by physicians to the legislators remains absolutely essential. One other item we are continuing to follow and to advocate is opposing an effort by the trial lawyers to shoehorn the wrongful death liability expansion bill into the state budget, the same bill that has been vetoed by Governor Hochul twice. The lawyers and some legislators supporting the bill held a press conference at the Capitol this week, urging that it be included in the state budget, which generated some press that again highlighted what are perceived to be deficiencies with the existing law. I know some of you are maybe tired of sending these letters, but it is imperative to again send a letter to your legislators opposing this proposal from our grassroots site. You can't be too careful. Certainly, a gross expansion of liability insurance costs is at odds with the goals of many to expand patient access to care. Flipping topics to the Change Healthcare cybersecurity incident, your advocacy team continues to be in regular discussions with the AMA, United Healthcare, and state and federal agencies to help find ways for physicians to navigate this crisis. A number of relief steps have been offered, varying by type of payer, but please continue to reach out to us to help you navigate these steps. More information is provided in various MISNI communications such as Pulse and Insider, but briefly I can tell you that CMS is now making advance Medicare payments available to physician practices impacted by this incident, and that MIPS reporting requirements have been delayed. United is making interim payments available to impacted providers, and DFS is requiring health insurers to waive various requirements for prior authorization, timely filing, and eligibility verification, as well as finding ways to make payments other than through electronic means. Importantly as well, United announced this week that it has restored its electronic claims platform. Again, please continue to reach out to MISNI and specifically my colleague, Heather Lopez at hlopez@misni.org if you need assistance on how best to navigate the situation. Please also look for an upcoming survey assessing how effective these relief programs are in assisting physicians facing challenges due to the cyber incident. Turning to upcoming CME, please put on your calendar Thursday, April 11th for a series of CME programs to kick off MISNI's annual House of Delegates meeting in Uniondale, Long Island, including a Medical Matters CME program on measles identification and Veterans Matters CME programs on traumatic brain injury in returning veterans and the psychological and physical impact of burn pits on veterans. Much more information on these programs, as well as everything else I've discussed, will be in today's MISNI Pulse and Monday's MISNI Insider. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast and for your continuing dedication to your county society and to MISNI. We will speak again soon.